Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
We are here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas, and I'm with my good friend Chris Mitchell. He almost needs no introduction, but he is the Middle East Bureau Chief for the Christian Broadcasting Network. Everyone, to know Chris is to love him, but but Chris, okay, so you live in Jerusalem.
I do.
And so part of this is that you are reporting what you're living in this post-October 7th world.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you are just inundated with stories every day and trying to cover just the Israel experience during this time. Can you share with me just in the last 500 days, stories that you have heard or people that you've interviewed that have just left such an impression?
Yeah. Well, there are stories almost every day, and ever since October 7th was a watershed in Israel's history and actually world history. You know, you can kind of measure time by before or after October 7th. I tell you, one of the stories I actually just heard here at the NRB convention was with Shira Sapira. Her son, Anir, was a Special Forces IDF soldier who was at the Nova Music Festival. And you may remember the famous footage of a bomb shelter that was meant to protect lives, which really became a death trap for 24 Israelis that were fleeing the Nova Music Festival massacre, actually. And he was the one at the very entrance of the bomb shelter as Hamas threw 8 grenades in. He told the rest of the people in there who were panicking and terrified, saying, "They will throw grenades in, I will throw them back." And he did that time after time, 8 times, and saved the lives of many of those people until they fired an RPG in there to kill him. And one of the amazing parts of this story is that 3 of the recent released hostages were in that bomb shelter. And they were alive.
Just coming out on Saturdays as part of the ceasefire. Wow.
They're alive because of him. And that's exactly what they told his mother. We talked to his mother. So that's just one story of so many. You know, we've interviewed many of the relatives of the hostages. And in particular right now, Shelley, Israel is going through such a trauma because of what they did to the Bibas family, what they did to Shiri, and what they did to Ariel and Kefir. It's almost, you don't want to explain actually what Hamas and these other terror groups did, but it's just such a body blow spiritually, emotionally, and mentally to the people of Israel. That's why it's so important what you do, what ICEJ does, what American Christian Leaders for Israel does, to comfort the Jewish people, to stand with them, and advocate them for such a time as this.
Chris, where were you on October 7th? Were you in Israel?
I was in Jerusalem. I was in Jerusalem. I got up early, and actually during the morning, I went back for a quick nap. And my wife, Liz, came in, and she said, "Chris, do you hear what I'm hearing?" And what she was hearing and what we began to both hear was the Iron Dome interceptions of rockets over Israel, as well as the sirens. And we kind of immediately knew how serious this was, how different things were. So we began to do, that day, I think we did 3 programs on Facebook and YouTube. And then the next day, we did a daily show for months after that, just to help tell people what was going on. And then during the day, we kept hearing reports of how many people had been killed, 100, 200, 300, and it just kept growing exponentially. Mm-hmm. And that...
Did you realize then that this was just unlike anything you had ever witnessed in Israel before?
Yeah, I've been there since 2000. We got, as a family, we got there in August of 2000. The second Intifada began the next month. Mm-hmm. And that was a sea change. And then we've seen the second Lebanon War. We saw the disengagement from Gaza in 2005 that led eventually to October 7th. We've seen several wars with Hamas. We've seen the Second Lebanon War, but this was so different. This was on a par with the 1967 Six-Day War, with the Yom Kippur in 1973. Just such a major change and shift in Israel's history that things were never the same after October 7th.
Have you had a chance to go into Gaza as a journalist? Is that even possible?
Well, not now. Yes, we did. Uh-huh. I got to go into one of the tunnels in Khan Yunis,
wow.
One of the many tunnels, literally hundreds of miles of tunnels that Hamas had built. I got to go in with 16 other journalists. We had a briefing with General Goldfuss, who was head of that area, and also our friend Joel Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. He and I got to go into the tunnels together. We were about 75 feet underground, and you just go slowly, slowly down underground. The tunnel that we were in had been held where 12 of the hostages had been held. And if you go into these tunnels, you see that there are kitchens, there are bedrooms, there are bathrooms. It's really a place where you can live for a long time. One of the rooms I had here, they put a gate in there, or like a cage, where they held 12 of the hostages. They knew that because 3 of the hostages were released at the end of November. And so Joel and I got to be in there to see it, to chronicle it, to document it. We even got to pray, the two of us, right there, that more of the hostages would be released. We also had an opportunity at the end of our time, as we got out of the tunnels, all the journalists were sort of doing their own thing in terms of stand-ups or reports, and we had the opportunity to have communion together to pray that God would redeem that land and use it for his purposes and cleanse it of the defilement that it had because of what had happened there. Since 2005, almost 20 years of this ideology meant to destroy the Jewish state and kill the Jewish people.
You moved to Israel in 2000.
Yeah.
You've walked through all of these things in Israel, these momentous events and horrible events, and you've reported on them all this time too. Have you raised your family in Israel?
Yeah.
I mean, what is it like at this point? Are you more Israeli than American?
I drive like an Israeli.
Okay, so it's well, happened.
And what that's
it's
like.
The process of osmosis.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. You have to drive aggressively in Israel. So we came in 2000, my wife Liz and our 3 children, Philip, Kathleen, and Grace, who were 16, 11, and 8 at the time. And so they were all there at different times. Philip, about 2.5 to 3 years. He went on to college, so did then Kathleen and then Grace. They had different experiences, but I think all of them, as my daughter Kathleen says, were ruined for the ordinary. They were introduced to a new culture, a new language, a new people, a new country, and especially growing up during the Second Intifada, where terror attacks and suicide bombings and bus bombings were part of our everyday life for about almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they grew up with that, and it was a huge turnaround in their lives. We had before that lived in a very comfortable, very convenient suburb in Chesapeake, Virginia, right outside of Virginia Beach, where CBN headquarters is.
Right.
And they were introduced to a whole new world. I think, thankfully, before we had come there, we had prayed that God would protect them. And I had the experience of having the Holy Spirit sort of provoke me to put my children on a spiritual altar like Abraham did on a physical altar and give them back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did that, I felt such a release that he would protect them. Now, this was in 1998, 2 years before we actually moved there. So when the bombs went off and the bus bombings were happening and the suicide attacks, mm-hmm. we had the sense, our anchor in our soul, that he would protect them and keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And he did.
And now they, I assume, are all 3 children
all
living back
in the States.
US. So now they're putting you on the altar and trusting that God will protect you
yeah.
in Israel during this, you know, this hard time of war. And so yeah. I'm sure that they would say they're the ones having to exercise great
Maybe
faith
they are.
Right
That's
now.
A great point. Yeah.
So are you, in your role as bureau chief, how has your life adjusted since October 7th? I mean, I'm assuming that the news day is longer. The number to story of stories to cover feels overwhelming. Has there been any adjustments in just your day-to-day coverage?
I think part of, I guess, best way to answer that question is it's just a continuing effort to keep going. Mm-hmm. There's been a change in the atmosphere almost, even the spiritual atmosphere there. It's a very intense time. You know, when Israel is fighting a war in seven fronts and a war in the media as well, and that's part of what we do. We're on that battlefront and just trying to continue to tell the story through the different platforms, the 700 Club, Jerusalem Dateline, on different, you know, YouTube or Facebook. And I think there's been a an effort just to continue to tell. And I think that's what ICEJ does and others. It's just a battle that you want to not be weary in well-doing and just continue to do it. Because how difficult it is for us, it's so much more difficult for those family members that have hostages inside Gaza, for the families that have lost loved ones, fallen in battle in Gaza or Lebanon or in Judea and Samaria. And it's such a much more difficult time for all of them. And we hope that we can be there to help tell their story and be a comfort to them to be able to tell the truth about what's happening in Israel.
Well, I know having a news network like Christian Broadcasting Network, I mean, it's getting to the point that we just all need a source that we can trust and a source that we know that is biblically grounded, that means the best and means well for the Jewish people in it and for Israel. Yeah. So we're so thankful that you have been there, that you didn't make a mass exit because you were scared, because it was a difficult time to be there, but instead that you buckled down, told more stories and told the truth. Because with the hostages, it has been just an ongoing open wound for so long.
Open wound, that's exactly what it is. I think the first thing that we had to deal with, we meaning my wife and I, was the Second Intifada. As we look back, we never had the conversation, even when it was dangerous for our children. Did we miss it? Do we go back? Is it too dangerous? We just felt God's call, and we just continued to try to be obedient to that. And we have a wonderful family in the Bureau. We have a wonderful team that feels dedicated to do what we do and feel called, all of us. And I would say as well, there's many other sources that are really God has raised up. Real Life Network with Dan Cohen. He used to be with Newsmax. Joel Rosenberg with All Israel News. Eric Steckelback with TBN. And Yair Pinto and Mati Shoshani with TBN. All trying to get the news out about what's happening in Israel. As well as the ICEJ doing it as well.
Everyone you just named has probably passed by us in the last hour here at the NRB too. Yeah. They're all here together. And so we're all just trying to get better at our craft, to get better at what we do and do it together and encourage each other. So thank you so much, Chris, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley, for what you do as well.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.